Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth the power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Give ear to my prayer, O God. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. But it is you, a man my equal. We used to take sweet counsel together. But I call to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would not have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? But the prophet who has a dream, tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one's house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Here endeth the gospel. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He himself says that he is the resurrection and the life, the door of the sheep, the light of the world. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And these titles for Jesus describe for us who he is. They communicate something about him. They reveal to us the divine mystery that is the incarnate Son of God, the Word of God made flesh. And so when we think of Jesus, these are likely the things that come to our minds. If we are asked the question, who is Jesus? We might respond with these titles. Or perhaps we would respond with the second article of the Creed, that Jesus is the only Son of God, our Lord and Savior. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, so on and so forth. Yet if we were to pose that very same question to those outside the Christian church, we would get a wide array of responses. An atheist would ignorantly say that Jesus, while he may have actually been a real man who existed in history, was really nothing more than a crazed Jew who claimed the title of Messiah for himself, not unlike some who had gone before him. He was clever, sure, and he was able to fool many people, but he was nothing more than a Jewish man. A Muslim would equally diminish our Lord and say that Jesus was a prophet, and they would even go so far as to say that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Yet they deny his crucifixion, and they deny that he is the eternal Son of God. A Jew would claim that Jesus is the arch-deceiver, the greatest of all the false prophets, who led many people away from the true worship of the one God. A secular scholar would paint our Lord as a hippie revolutionist whose greatest achievement was doing away with the established order in order to live out his truth. To some, sadly even within the church, Jesus is an amorphous catch-all sort of figure that in reality is just a stand-in for their own thoughts and opinions. These are the people who say things like, "My God would want me to be happy," or "Jesus never said anything about gay people, so who are you to judge?" Well, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. He has enlightened our hearts, and he has brought us to an understanding of the truth. And so we know that these conceptions of Jesus are simply wrong. They are not what the scriptures reveal to us about our Lord. We are confident and sure of that. But even still, the words of Jesus that St. Luke records for us today, well, they might jar us at first. At first glance, they might not even appear to be very characteristic of Jesus. Think of the titles that I just spoke to you. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He is the light of the world, the resurrection, the life. Yet we know that he has come to cast fire upon the earth, fire that will separate and divide households, father against son and mother against daughter. Jesus says that he has not come to bring peace, but rather he has come to divide, to break up, to bring hostility upon the world. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which means that he is the harbinger of peace. He brings it, and he gives it freely to those who believe in him. Yet his peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that extends beyond the things temporal and reaches into the eternal. And so while it is true that you and I enjoy the assurance of that peace, while we know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, that does not mean that we will always see that peace play out in the world. And this really should not surprise us. Jesus says that the world has hated him, and so it will hate the ones who follow him. Jesus confesses before Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, Jesus comes not to bring peace to this world, but a sword. For the devil, his demons, and for those who reject the teaching of Jesus, the coming of Jesus is the coming of hostility, of righteous judgment. Now, to be sure, we are confident that the Father can grant repentance, and we know that it is his earnest desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Nevertheless, there will always exist in this veil of tears hostility and division. It is our Lord's baptism of blood, his suffering and death upon the cross, that reveals this hostility. At his death, the earth quaked and the rocks were rent. It's the refining fire of his spirit that convicts the world of sin. Through his suffering and death, the world is shown to be against him. As St. Paul declares that the cross is scandalous to the Jews, a stumbling block to them, and it is folly and foolishness to the Gentiles. So the ones who believe and receive Jesus' death are reconciled. And the ones who do not, they are divided from him. And they are divided from his people. And we experience this division in small and large ways. I remember that as I progressed through my teenage years, I became increasingly isolated from my friends and my classmates. I wasn't willing to participate in the open debauchery that is so common in our schools today. And as a result, I was separated. I was divided from a lot of people my age. I felt repercussions for my faith in sports as well, as I chose church over practice. Now, to be sure, these are very small ways that the division is felt and revealed. Looking back, they weren't actually that bad. But there is also the pain of seeing a friend or a child renounce their faith and fall away from Christ. You can lose the means to support your family if you are openly Christian in your place of work. These are all very real things for us. And it is true that in times past, the division and the hostility were more prominent and more severe for the church. But nevertheless, it still exists even to this day. Therefore, Jesus exhorts the ones who are hostile to him, the ones who are divided from him, to interpret the signs, to know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It demonstrates the depth of our sin, that the one great reconciling act in all of history, namely the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, that is the very thing that causes the division that our Lord speaks of. And so Jesus would have those who are apart from him be joined to him in his death. We have already experienced this as we have been baptized into his death, and we are left in the security and the comfort of his righteousness and grace. But there are many people, some of whom we may know very well, who are still dead in their sins and who have rejected the grace of Christ. They may interpret the signs in the sky and on the earth, yet the heavenly sign of God's love for them, Christ crucified, remains hidden. And so what then are we to do? It is good and right that we should look forward to that time when our Lord returns and we will experience in heaven and in the new creation no division. But we cannot ignore in the here and now the hostility of the world. We must live in it, and we must be faithful as we do so. We must deal with, and Lord forbid this, even our Christian families being torn apart, being given over to division. What then are we to do? First, as we must always do when we are confronted with the terrors of this world, so we must approach our Lord in prayer. The Lord has given us prayer, and he promises not only to hear our prayers, but to act, to answer our prayers. We as Christians must not give into the temptation of thinking that prayer is ultimately useless. God knows everything, so why even pray? Or we should not think that prayer is something only to be employed in deep and distressing times. Our Lord Jesus was in constant communion, constant prayer with the Father, and we should be as well. And we should pray that our Lord would be merciful to us and to those who do not know him. For it is the Lord alone who grants repentance, and therefore the overcoming of division and hostility rests in him alone, in his gracious work. So pray for this. If you have a son or daughter who no longer comes to church, pray for them. If you have a spouse who does not come to this place, pray. If you have someone you love who does not know the love of Christ, pray to the Father through your Lord Jesus. And every prayer that you pray, you must end with a strong and confident Amen. Amen means yes, it shall be so. There should be no doubt in your mind that your Father in heaven hears your prayers for the sake of Christ, and that it is very well-pleasing for God to hear your prayers and to receive them. He is not slow to act, but in his good time and according to his holy and perfect will, he will give an answer to your prayer. And the second thing that we must do is that we must live lives that confess and that are shaped to the image of Christ. That is, we must love the Lord with all our hearts, souls, strength, and minds. And we must love our neighbor as ourselves. Above all, we are not to be ashamed of the cross of Christ. Don't be afraid to talk, to speak up, to tell those who do not know God what Jesus has done for you and for them. Jesus says that whoever is ashamed of me, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed. Follow the words of St. Paul, who says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You do not have to speak in plausible words. You don't need to be a logician or an eloquent speaker. Our faith is simple. Our faith is simply in the one who died for us. And unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom. Therefore, do not hesitate to speak the truth, to confess your faith to the ones who truly need to hear it. This is love, truly. To remain silent, to shy away from the conversation, that's the opposite of love. Instead, speak the truth in confidence. Divisions and hostilities will continue, Yet we must continue to pray and work, confessing with faith the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, trusting that the Lord's word will not return to him empty, but will accomplish that for which he purposes. And so, dear Christians, be confident. Be confident in your God and let your hope rest in him alone. Wait and see the salvation of the Lord, who will, according to his mercy, give us peaceable and quiet lives in this life and will convert the hearts of those whom he wills. And so we implore that mercy until that day when he returns again to take us to himself, where all hostility and all division will cease, and we will live in perfect communion with him and with all the faithful saints. May that day come to us soon. Until then, let us pray and let us work for the good of our neighbors. Amen. We stand for the offertory. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, strengthen our hearts in days of division to confess in our words and lives the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you inspired your servant Jeremiah to proclaim your word amid the lies of false prophets. Arm your servants in our day with the power of your Holy Spirit to contradict the lies of the enemy, and build up your church upon the eternal foundation of your word, especially David and his wife Barbara as they serve in Macho. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you settle the solitary in families in order to nurture their faith and train them in righteousness. Bless and strengthen parents to bring up their children to resist temptation and to endure all things for the sake of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, behold our nation and all those in authority in your mercy, and replenish them by your grace, that all who receive the sword would bear it according to your word, always inclining to your will and walking in your way. Grant that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Bless those who serve in the armed forces, especially Sean, Thomas, and Austin. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant healing to the sick, especially to Harold, Esther, Amy, Marvin, Mary, Tim, Pam, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia. Grant them strength and give strength to the weak, endurance to bear up under trial, and patience to await his deliverance, and finally peace at the last. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son promises division even as he promises salvation. Inspire our hearts to prize our baptisms and the communion of the saints above all other relations in this world, even as we fervently pray and strive for the salvation of those we know and love. Lord, in your mercy. God of our fathers, you bless your church with the enduring witness of your saints, who now rest from their labors. Whenever we join their heavenly communion in the Lord's Supper, grant that we would share their faith in Christ now and to life's end. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O merciful Father, in these our most humble requests, which we offer unto you in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn. Well, good morning, everyone. It's very great to be here. Very blessed to be with here to worship with you. I'm not going to make any announcements, so you can just kind of look in the bulletin to read all the announcements in there. If there's any big announcements that I should make now, somebody tell me. If not, go in the peace of the Lord.